get started at the time, so we can go ahead and finish it. But I want to share something with you, fellow worker is, he showed me this a couple of months back, and it's called a Holy Spirit flower. And I made a...
That's beautiful, wow.
Copies of it, and I thought it kind of unique how creation tells the story. If you look there at the first picture, it somewhat resembles a... The Mother Mary held it back to Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And then when it blooms out, you know, the Holy Spirit. But I thought that kind of, and the name of this flower is the Holy Spirit.
Where's it grown?
Is it a lily or a...
I believe it is a lily.
Cotton lily.
That's a good question.
Well, it's not grown in my yard, I know that much.
I guess we can Google it.
But I want to say, Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. And, you know, we've been sharing there some Psalm 19, and it was written by David. But I got to thinking about Bathsheba, the life of Bathsheba. And I thought, you don't hear ministers minister much on her because of, you know, what transpired between her and David. But I got to thinking, you know, she turned out to be a pretty good mom, didn't she?
She did.
Greatest, smartest man ever come along. And I know the Lord gave Solomon the wisdom because he asked for it. But I read where it was Bathsheba's, either her father or her grandfather was a counselor for David.
Okay.
So, you know, that gets me thinking, you know, she was probably pretty smart on that herself. And David, you know, not only he probably, you know, seen her, you know, bathing on, seen her beauty, but by knowing her grandfather, he probably thought, well, she's pretty smart cookie too. But men are attracted to that. Men are attracted to smart women. I was watching Family Feud here the other day, and there's a survey, 100 men, 1 to 10, how smart do you want your wife to be? 1 to 10, 10 being smart. But 10 was the top answer. Men love their wives to be smart, and the reason being, raise your children, teach your children. And we see they have problems on previous our problems, right? We hear Proverbs chapter 1. Before we get started in the Psalms, it says 1 and 8, it says, my son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And this means the teaching of your mother. So, you know, it's the mama in the family normally that does a lot of teaching. You know, that's good. Mom did a good job of teaching, and I thank God for your mom's service. And I know a lot of y'all do, and y'all do y'all's best to teach your children and grandchildren. And you know, Bible lady gives instructions for the older ladies to teach the younger ladies. So, you know, a mom, she's just a perfect teacher.
Yeah.
But let's go to Psalms 119. We won't go there and continue in line. And we're at K for Psalms 119. And it's K. It's the 17th letter there. And it means mouth. Last week we looked at the word that meant eye. But this week we're looking at mouth. And it says Psalms 119:129 says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word gives life.
Amen.
It gives understanding unto the simple. Thank God, you know, the Lord, he just reaches on down to, you know, the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, and I long for thy commandments. You know, I noticed this within there. I opened my mouth. You've heard people pant, just go. Mm-hmm. You know, pant. if it says, for I long for thy commandments, we're gonna come back on here. Says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word and let not iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts and instructions. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. But let's go back to, we see here David, and he had just a hunger and a thirst for the knowledge of the Lord, didn't he? You know, instruction and the commands. But he said, I opened my mouth, 131, I opened my mouth and panted for a long for thy commandments. But I noticed here when, you know, a little bit ago we read Proverbs, you know, the instruction of the father. But when King David died here, when he passed away, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 2, that, you know, normally when a person's on their deathbed, they really speak forth what's on their heart, what's real. You know, they get real when they get ready to die. And here we see King David doing that. And it says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, now that's a smart Solomon here. He says, I go thy way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. He was telling Solomon, I want you to be a man. And he says, here's how. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commands, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whether thou should turn thyself. And the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, as saying, if your children will take heed of their ways to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. Mm-hmm. But you know, David, he instructed his son there on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. And if you read the rest of the story, you know, it's kind of like a Godfather episode. But, you know, he told old Solomon about his enemies.
And, yeah, he did. Sure.
And he told him about his friends, too. And more or less how to treat them, or he told Solomon, wise enough to deal with them, son. But I thought that interesting, how man, you know, like I went to see my cousin yesterday at a hospital, and he's fourth stage cancer. And I sat there and me and him shared. I grew up with him as a small kid, you know, this kid's age, you know. And, you know, everybody raised him, he's going to get separated and all. And we talked a little bit about childhood, but, you know, we really talked about the Lord. Good. And amen. I prayed for him, he prayed for me. And man, that's just, you know, when it gets that time, you know, the Lord, that's, you know, you know. But I you know, Solomon, he gave us so much wisdom. And I believe his mama taught him a lot, just watching her, you know. He talks about, you know, a soft dance returns away laughter. I'm going to read up that from his mom. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that. But moms, y'all do a good job.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. Never enough words to say thank you enough for mother.
Oh,
amen. I love my daddy, but my mama was my heart.
They say the one who rocks the cradles controls the world.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray and I thank you that you bless these ladies in here. Lord, you give all of them wisdom. Wisdom of you, for the Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom. And Lord, may they just continue, you know, helping the younger ladies and blessing the younger ladies. And and showing them just how to love you, Lord. And we thank you for each and every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
David, thank you so much. I'm just so, I just feel so good about that 119 Psalms, and I just want to read it again and again and again. I think you've stirred something in our hearts about that 119 Psalm. It's just such a blessing. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm coming up. Now, because it's Mother's Day, we're going to teach on something a little different this morning. We're going to teach on the great women of the Bible.
Great.
I taught a lesson one time, I preached a lesson one time, talking about the unstoppable women of the Bible.
Yes.
It is some amazing women in that Bible that really just lit out in a special way. Mm-hmm. Let me put these on the desk too. I want to join with David and say Happy Mother's Day to all of y'all. Mothers, you know, it's nothing like a mom. Nothing like a mom. We'll get to that in June.
Yeah.
But this is May. This is Mother's. There, my little girls. I need y'all up here. I need y'all help because we're getting ready to bless the mom. Okay, I need you to take that one to Mary and tell her Happy Mother's Day.
I want a hug too.
Yeah, our mothers stand up. That'll help them out some. This one, give it to the lady in the blue there. Tell her Happy Mother's Day.
Can we all get one before we open it?
Huh?
Can we wait till we all get one before we open it?
Y'all can get it if you want to. Get it to your mom.
Oh. I love my new grandkids.
Yeah.
Had one a long time. In fact,
I got, when
Chris lived with me, he used to have to go get me some of these.
Reach your bag. Instead of getting gift bags, I just thought I'd get,
yeah,
get those.
Oh, how pretty.
You are blessed, Miss Mary. Jesus. Yes.
You are more than welcome. God is everywhere, and you can pray anywhere. So pray.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
And what's your bag say?
Good things are coming is what mine said.
Let your dreams come. Let your dreams bloom.
All right, let your dreams bloom.
Yeah. Thank
you. Okay, so let's get in the word. Let's give our mothers a hand.
Servant's heart just left me. Vain jesting, that's a bad mirror. Stop it. I was talking to myself. So.
Oh, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Father, once again, we come to you,
yes,
thanking you that you are the true and living God.
Yes, you are.
We praise that name that is above all others' names.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, as we talk about these great women in the Bible today, we just thank you, Lord, that you have raised up great women in our time. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing through the women. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Let's go. You know, we always talk about, when we talk about the great woman, we go to Esther, we go to the book of Ruth, and those are some good places to go because those are the only two women that got their names, the book, they got books after their name. But today I want to turn and go to somewhere different. I want to go to the book of Judges.
and talk about this awesome lady named Deborah. How God raised her up in a difficult time. And we want to look at all the facts. Women were not supposed to hold an office like that. Women weren't supposed to lead like this lady did. But she didn't say, she didn't look at, Lord, I'm a woman, I can't lead. She like, God needs me. And women, I want y'all to say, God needs me.
God needs me.
And just be available for his plan and purpose only.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the fourth chapter of Judges. And I don't know how much we're going to read today. We're going to do a lot of reading today. We're going to talk about two ladies. I said one. I said Deborah. But we're also going to talk about a very important lady named Jael. And I love Jael because I call her my stay-at-home mom that put the enemy to death. And she was just a little stay-at-home mom. And mom, if you stay at home, please don't belittle that. You can be just as powerful as those that go out into the workforce every day. But we're going to be talking about one that's out in the workforce, Deborah, and then we're going to talk about a stay-at-home mom, Jael. How many have heard of the name Jael before? See? We're still talking about her. Even though she's a stay-at-home mom, we're still talking about Jael. Okay, we're going to do some reading simply because we need to read to locate what is happening here and what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, in the book of Judges, when you read in there, you're going to read a lot in there. It said, Again the Israelite did evil in the sight of the Lord. You're going to read that a lot of times in here. So let's go to the fourth chapter of Judges. It says, and the children of Israel again. Do y'all know what again mean? They had did it before. Did evil in the sight of the Lord. When Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dealt at Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel, what did they do? Cried unto the Lord. For he had 900 chariots of iron. Now, it's describing Jabin, or you could say the one that was the military leader, Sisera. It's describing his army, how this military army was so mighty. For he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. He did this for, how many know 20 years is a long time to be in oppression from the devil? 20 years is a long time. And when you oppress, 20 years seem like 40 or 60. But they had let the enemy oppress them 20 years before they cried out. They could have cried out way before then. It didn't have to get this bad.
That's true.
Sometimes things get so bad until people say, well, I guess we had nothing else to do but pray. There's nothing else to do but pray. We don't have to let it get that bad. They didn't have to let it get 20 years. 20 years is a long time to be oppressed by the enemy. And the book of Judges describes how mightily he oppressed them. He didn't have to do nothing but show up in the 900 chariots. You know, a lot of times the enemy don't even have to say nothing, just let you look at something. Even on TV, you can look at something, well, they're going to take Social Security. They ain't even took it yet. And then you get into worry, you get into some kind of mold, It's just like when David slew Goliath. It said all he did was get up every morning and talk. He hadn't touched none of them, the children of Israel. He would just get up every morning and just talk to them. I'm going to steal you. I'm going to kill your children. I'm going to kill you. And he just got up and talked every morning. He didn't do nothing he said he was going to do to them. He was so big until when they saw that giant, they went, oh, he can do it. Oh, yeah. Just put fear in their heart. And it said fear was in all of Israelite's heart. And this is what Sisera is doing to the children of it, just oppress them. The things that they wanted to do, they couldn't do. They was afraid to go out. They were afraid to do this. Because there's, hey, you can't go too far. You know, Sisera is out there. You can't, you know, and that's the way the enemy tried to get us to do our life now. Well, you can't do this, and I wouldn't go here, and I wouldn't go. The devil is out there. Well, the blood of Jesus is too. He's out there. Yes, he's out there, but the blood of Jesus. He put things in your mind. I wouldn't go, the enemy is out there. Well, God is everywhere too. He's out there too. And we know how to apply the blood. Now, I'm not saying go out there in some wild things and stuff like that, but don't let it lock you up. And one lady's so locked up in her house, she said, I can't go out there. I'm afraid to go out. A prisoner in her own home. Well, the enemy will talk to you in your mind and tell you many different things that he's going to do and why you can't do this and this and that. And it have you so oppressed. And they was looking at them 900 chariots. They say he got 900 chariots. We can't defeat him. All we can do is bow down to him. Whatever he say, yes, sir. Ha ha. It was nothing that they could do. And the enemy plays with our mind now. He rolls over things in your mind, in our mind now. You're not gonna make it in the morning. I kill you before. Now, if you could kill me, you would have killed me a long time ago. You can't kill me. But he can talk to your mind. And you can talk back.
That's right.
That's one time I'm giving you permission to talk back. Speak back. But we see here that Judges is painting this picture here. And it used the word mightily oppress them. They didn't go into detail of all the things that he did, but mightily oppressed them. You can just imagine of some of the things that he could have been doing to not only to them, but to their children, to just everything that involved life. But Judges didn't stop writing here. In the fourth verse, it said, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lepidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Now, I don't call them, just using the word prophetess, a prophet for too many judges, but she held a very important thing here. She was a prophetess, she was a wife, and she was a judge at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel, Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She was so right on it till they came for her to judge things, because she was just such a great prophetess. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Ambanom, out of Kadesh Naphtalah, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel, didn't say, but commanded. Do y'all know what a command means? It's not a suggestion. Said he commanded him. Now she called for Barak. She called. He didn't come up like the other ones come up for judging and stuff like that. She called him, told him, you come here. These people have cried out unto the Lord. Now God is ready to make his move. Because they cried out. So she called for him. She said, the Lord has commanded you, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. You know, she told him just what the Lord said, how he said do it. She gave him this military strategy. Sometimes we need to just get the strategy from God. We do this and we do that and we do this because we think it's right to do. It looks good. But sometimes we need to just stop and say, God, what is your strategy? And Deborah had the strategy, not that she came up with, but God had given her this strategy. How many men, where to go get them, and who was supposed to lead out military. She had the strategy of God. Sometimes we just need to say, God, what you praying? I want to pray what you pray. Because Jesus interceded for us. And I just stop sometimes and just ask him, say, hey, what are you praying today? I want to pray whatever you're praying. So I pray in the spirit. And I get the strategy of God. It's just so important that we get that. See, when you get that military strategy of God, that's victory already. Go ahead, Apostle. Come on, y'all, raise your hand.
Every strategy of God has its own anointing with it.
Yes. Woo, say that again.
Every strategy of God has its own anointing with it.
Yes, it. Oh, my God. That's good, Apostle.
I think of the Six-Day War of Israel.
You think what now?
Of the Six-Day War of Israel and Egypt and all of
that. Oh, yeah.
That was a God thing from beginning to end.
I mean, Israel know that they were no match for 900 chariots. That's when they weren't going up against them. Nobody, all the men was afraid. And then this woman steps up when all this fear is going on.
Go ahead. That's not the foot soldiers.
Huh?
That's not counting the foot soldiers.
Oh, no. I don't count the foot soldiers.
That's just like, you know, our military, you know, you can say we got 500 tanks. That's not counting foot soldiers. That's not counting people in jeeps. That's not counting aircraft. You know, all the other stuff.
But a chariot in that day was like a tank.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know.
They had archers on them, too.
I mean.
Two-man, usually.
Iron. These was iron.
They don't burn.
You can't, they don't burn. You can't destroy them, you know. And, I mean, they looked at that and all fear fell in their heart. They said, we just no match for them. But Deborah called for Barak because she's ready, since they cried out, she's ready to bring deliverance to the people of Israel. That's what Judges did. They brought deliverance. And so she was ready to bring deliverance. Okay, let's go to the 6. And she's, okay, we read that. Okay, the 7. And I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon, Sisera. You know, she's telling the military plan of God. The captain of Jabin army with his chariots and his multitude. And I will deliver him into who hands? Thine hands. Here, Deborah is telling Barak. We got the military. Don't look at the 900 chariots. See, that's what Barak was looking at. He was looking at the 900 chariots and how he had been oppressed for 20 years by Sisera. But don't you know that God is giving his plan? He said, and I'm going to give him into thine hand. Okay, he was going to give him into Barak's hand. That's what, see, she didn't call the 10,000 soldiers. She only called Barak. And she told him that he's going to give him into your hands. Okay, let's see Barak respond to that. And Barak said unto her, this is how he's responding. This is how this man is responding. Now, Barak was a militant man. He was very, He could have accomplished this easily with God. And Barak said unto her, if thou would go up with me. Now women just didn't go to battle. Women didn't go to battle. But Barak said, hey, you're going to have to go with me. Who that sound like in the Bible? It happened, it said, just say, I ain't going up if you don't go with me. Okay, Moses and God. Okay. Moses, God had got very angry with the children of Israel. He said, Moses, I can't go up with them, but I'm going to send you some angels. Moses said, oh, no. If you don't go up, I ain't going up. I'm sending no angels with me, not with them. And no, you're gonna have to go. Now, I don't want no angels. And God said, okay, I go, Moses. Okay, and Barak said unto him, if thou would go with me, then I would go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go. Ooh,